Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Hello, everybody. It's Mark and
No, thank you.
No.
It's not the brand I'm looking for.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Mark and Heidi, the other D'Amelios. I am Mark.
And I'm Heidi.
All right, so I think we're going to talk about more of the business side of social media today. Because people are always interested in that. They want to know about how we make content, brand deals, things like that. Yeah, I think so. I was interested in it before. When the girls first started, when I first realized that this could potentially be a business, I was all interested in talking with people to find out the ins and outs of the, it's called the biz, honey. B-I-Z, the biz. All right, so.
People still use that word?
No, just I do.
Okay.
I'm bringing it back. So I want to say one thing. I do have.
Just one?
No, I'm going to say a bunch of things. And we're going to do another word count on this one. And
okay, so what do you want to know?
It's interesting because as parents, we're both on social media and there's some places where I have more followers than you.
Yes.
But Heidi D'Amelio is actually an Instagram mogul.
What is happening right now?
Your Instagram is on fire. And
okay. Side note, if I have any OGs out there, if you remember me talking about not posting for Charlie's birthday post yet, still haven't done that. I'm so behind, but go.
But you really, so Heidi, I think, has over 2.5 million?
I honestly don't know.
And that doesn't matter. You're doing very well. Let's just leave it at that. But people often ask us, like, they're like, how do you put your content together? Mm-hmm. And for me, I have no rhyme or reason. I'm just going forward every day, doing some things. But you, why don't you talk about Instagram? Because you've done a really good job. Your stories are phenomenal. Your photos are phenomenal. As a parent, I think you can give a lot of other parents out there who are building their personal brand some good advice. So go, Heidi, tell us your secrets.
Well, I'd love to say that I have this whole master plan, but mostly I am pretty consistent with my stories. And the reason is probably going to be way different than you think. My whole family is in Louisiana, and then my other family and in-laws are in Connecticut, New York. That's been for a long time. So I put stories so that my mom can see what we're doing on a daily basis, because we don't talk every minute of every day. We live far from each other and life goes fast. So that's my way of giving her the inside scoop on what we're doing. And she loves it. And she loves being able to keep up. You know, and even like for my sisters too, like they'll post stories or post. And so it's kind of her way of keeping up, because, you know, we grew up in a time and she grew up in a time where you would get together and you would, you know, visit and talk about all the things. And it's just not the way it is. And I don't live there now. So that is the main source of my constant Instagram stories.
Let me interject here.
Yes.
Because I have a viewpoint. I don't want to.
Please.
I don't want to.
I'd love to
force
hear.
The issue. what I love about your stories is you shed light on other creators, big and small. So it's almost like your stories to me is a news feed. Like, ooh, I get to see things
other
from,
people
from Markel, Quinn. You'll post small creators. You'll post fan pages. And you always tag them. So like when I go, I'm kidding around, but I really look at your story post as almost a news feed. And then I'll go to other, it reminds me about, oh, you got to check. I haven't seen Markel's page lately. Let mm-hmm. me go see what he's up to.
Thanks.
Quinn, even the post and the fan pages too are really cool.
The work they put in, I know I say it all the time, but unbelievable. They're so talented.
Did someone tell you to do that? Or that's just kind of how you've been doing.
I just like, I feel like I don't want to keep, like, people have to see this. Like, they're, you know, I don't know. I feel like everybody should see it. And I know there's a lot of people with a lot more followers, but if I can have just the people that follow me go check out their pages and their posts and stories and whatever, and their content is important because I don't know. I don't know. I just like doing that. I feel like if we were friends, like let's say off of social media, and I'd be like, oh, you have to meet my friend. Here, meet my friend.
I love that.
You know, because whether I know them or not, I want you to meet them because they're funny or they're talented or, oh, this, you know, it's a fan page, but they look at these edits they make. And sometimes it's touching and beautiful and makes me cry, as you know. But sometimes it's just cool stuff and cool people that I think everybody should see.
I love that. And I'm going to, and you have a strong following. So to shed light and put the spotlight on other creators, small creators, big creators, I think is really cool. I'm going to start doing that if you don't mind.
I think everybody should do that. I think you should always have someone or a group of people that you're bringing up because there's room for everybody.
I've been thinking about like what my social media perspective. And what was cool is early on TikTok, I was like the dad from TikTok. Mm-hmm. And I never wanted to be in the back of my kids' videos. And I never wanted to do dances and embarrass them in any way. So I kind of became this dad's perspective of TikTok. And I did a lot. I used to only lip sync like older songs, either old rap songs or old R&B songs. And
wait, can I just interject?
Sure, yeah, of course.
I just wanted to say, well, you were just saying you're not going to see me like in all the videos. When you see Mark or myself in our kids' videos, they have pulled us in. Like, I think when things first started out, it was like more fun. We were doing it all the time together, just sitting around the house. But now, any video you see me in, the kids are like, get in here. I'm like, oh, I look a mess, or I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. What's the song? Like, sometimes they set me up like to be funny, and I don't know what's going on. So,
and just to say something without hurting my kids' feelings, Charlie's not the best teacher. She's not the best in...
She's not easy on the words. She's tough. She'll teach one time and
a
say,
dance, right?
Let's record. Yeah, I'm like, I have no idea what's going on. She's like, you got it, you're fine. And then we'll do it. And she's like, Mom, you could do better. I'm like, what? I know, but I need help.
So I think you found your lane on Instagram, and your lane for Instagram, especially IG stories, has been kind of almost like you're basically posting other people's stuff, but you're, what do they call it in a museum when they
curating?
Yeah, you're curating other people's stuff.
I'm not sure if this is the name, but did you see when I posted? I think it's called For Washington. This, I think they're siblings and they're a cappella. Oh, if you, let me check right now. They are so good.
For Washington, the number four.
That's, I think it's spelled out four, but let me double check because people, you should check them out for, but keep talking.
So back to our last.
Yes, For Washington. For Washington. This is their Instagram, but I think it's on everything. They're amazing a cappella singers and their siblings.
Is it so you think it's reserved on all their platforms?
Yeah, I think it is. I originally saw them on TikTok and then I followed them on Instagram too.
Yeah. So I think for me, I need to find for TikTok and Triller, I need to find my lane because we don't want to. We have other things that we're doing. We have the Hulu show, so you don't want to make it more documentary-like because that's what we're doing with the Hulu show. I need to find my lane on what I'm going to do. Little bit of old school music, but then more just vlog style from my perspective, which probably no one really cares about as a dad.
That's not true.
But I need to do a better job with that. I think now that you've told me your secrets to Instagram, I'm going to start doing that.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
These are the things that I lack with my, I'm just going to say Instagram talk with one about one at a time is I wish that I talked more on my stories. Cause when I do, like, people message me and like, oh, that was so good. Like there's much more interaction when I talk on my Instagram stories, but sometimes it's like just photos or showing someone else or what's going on around the house, the dogs, the sunset, whatever. And I feel like people get to know you better when you're talking. Like it feels more like intimate, if that makes sense. And there's more engagement when that happens. The other thing is I love posting pictures. And I never have anybody take pictures of me. So I was doing a lot of mirror selfies for a long time. And Dixie was finally like, Mom, I love you. You take amazing pictures. You got to stop with the mirror selfies. It's just too much.
Is that out or is it just excessive?
I think it was just like, that's all I had. So all my Instagram posts were that for a long time because we had a great mirror. But I was like, I don't have anybody. So when she's around, she'll take my pictures, but they're not always around me. It's not like I'm always not like in the moments where we're like, I'm dressed, we're going to go out to dinner and I'm, you know, I like my outfit and I like my hair, my makeup. We're in a rush and the pictures don't get taken. So, but if you could be a better like Instagram husband and take those pictures, that'd be amazing. So,
yeah, I don't know what that means per se, but if you can put together a job description,
if you know, you know.
Oh, no,
like when you spot those opportunities, oh, let me get some pics of you. This will be good for Instagram.
I think if you go back to our last episode and we talked about this currency, like I'm not looking to take these followers and monetize them. At my age, I'm looking to do something bigger and to do something where I actually have an impact on people. I mean, look, it's a big thing to have over 10 million people click the button to follow me. And I feel I have an obligation to say something that makes a difference. And let the kids do.
But sometimes like it doesn't have to be, I mean, obviously there's major issues or things that need to be talked about, which you have the platform to do that. But there's also, I think there's things that don't overlook the little things. Like for me, and I'm saying this to you, but I, for myself, like I think things that people reach out to me about, like, hey, can you show me how you did your eyeliner? Or, you know, things that I love, like I love refinishing furniture. I love organization. Like when I used to post more of that and I would get so many people engaged, like, okay, wait, or you inspired me. Look, I did this one, and they'll send pictures. And I just like, I feel like for me, or like, you know, putting an outfit together for under $40, like those are the things I love that I think other people could find helpful. And that's what I want to do more of.
Yeah, I agree. I look at things that we've done around the house that, whether it's, you know, the DJ system I put in my office, like I want, like people don't even know those things
like
about me.
Because you DJ with vinyls.
Yes.
Not a lot of people do that right now.
I do. So I think we need to, I would love for people to tell me what they think value I can add in my social media. And I do think I'm not saying what the kids do isn't important, because we've seen how they impact other kids, mm-hmm. and the from the dancing to some the funny videos. It's entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how entertaining I am, so I kind of want to figure out how much I want to add value. If I'm going to do social mm-hmm. media, I want to add value.
There is a guy, I found him on TikTok, and if I really wish I could remember his account, but if you've I bet if I explain it, people will know who I'm talking about. He's literally the dad of TikTok, and I'll tell you why. All of his content is he shows you in a like very short TikTok video, like how to change a tire, how to fix if you have a hole in your drywall, how to, you know, put where the windshield wiper fluid goes in your car. Everything that, and his comments are flooded with, I didn't have a dad around, and thank you so much for teaching me how to do this. You know, obviously, and people will say, I could go to YouTube to learn it, but I feel like you're my dad. And it's the most heartwarming account. And he's good. Like everything I was fortunate enough to have my dad around to teach me those things. But I, you know, because of that, I didn't have that perspective of these people who don't have a dad around. And I don't know how it started for him. And like, I don't know if that's how his account started, but he's so good at it. And he's like the cutest guy. Like he's like sweet. And like, you just want to like, give him a hug. Like, thank you. Thank you for putting this content out. And it's so important. And he's touching so many people and teaching so many people so many things.
That's awesome. And I think I'm not the first one to say it. I think a lot of people say it in school. You learn traditional school. You learn things like algebra and calculus and important stuff, but you don't learn how to balance a checkbook and how to monitor your credit score mm-hmm. and how to fix drywall.
Mm-hmm.
And I still don't know how to fix drywall.
And that's why when people say, well, I'm going to share his account with you. I really need to get his account. When I find it, I've already shared it on my Instagram stories before, so I'll have to do that again. But that, I guess the point of it is don't think you can't add value, because whether it's just anything you're passionate about, if you post about it, you're going to find people that are also passionate about it. And don't think like, oh, I don't have a thing. Like everybody has something about them that makes them special. And even if it seems little to you, it might be really big to someone else. So just post about it.
You totally just motivated me.
I did.
Wait, you're saying I'm special?
You are special.
Oh, thank
you. To me.
So with the following and all the things that have happened to our family, we've done deals with brands.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of what goes on when, once you get a following, you become a marketing vehicle for whatever, all kinds of stuff. And you've done some brand deals. We've mm-hmm. supported the girls in their decisions, and been in the conversations about certain brand deals. What do you look for in partnering with a company?
Well, first of all, I know my reality I am.
Which is what?
Is I'm not a 20-year-old that can probably be maybe marketed by a lot of different companies. My window is probably smaller because I'm an older woman. But I do believe there is a market for someone like me. And so when there are brands that come along, I want to, like, I just can't agree to work with a brand that I don't truly, like, it's not something I would use. It's not something I would be passionate about or have as part of my life, whether it's something I eat or something I wear or something I feed my dogs. Like, it has to be true. Like, I just can't, like, for the money, I can't just say yes. And because I feel like a fraud, and that doesn't sit right with me.
I think we have always, from the beginning of this thing, we've always been authentic. And I think I would, advice I would give to people out there that have the opportunity to make money on social media, you can do both. You can make money and still be authentic. And I think you'll have more longevity if you're authentic. And if you look at Charlie and our family and some of the brands that we're involved in, Charlie was posting Dunkin' Donuts for free for years, for months, right? And then she kind of, the deal came together because someone at Dunkin', I'm assuming.
Yeah, they tweeted at her.
and someone in their marketing department was like, hey, this kid who's pretty popular.
She tweeted at them. She was like, something, hey, Dunkin', let's do a deal or something. I don't remember what it was. It was a long time ago.
Because I think from the company side, it's much better to get someone to be a brand ambassador that actually is involved with the brand. So that's, so if you think of Dunkin', we got, because she—
Wait, I think she tweeted at them, like, I want to marry Dunkin' Donuts or something. It was something like that. Okay, go ahead.
But think about the deals that some of the ones that we did. Takis came because Charlie loves Takis. So she was a Takis consumer way before that, and that led into it. Sometimes Greg, who's the president of our company, instead of going out to companies, he will just kind of look around our house, and whatever Charlie does or whatever we do, he sees what we consume or what we like or what we enjoy. And he's gotten to know us very well. And it makes it so much easier to do the deals where it's not a financial thing. Sometimes it's that you feel comfortable with it.
But let's flip that, because we are fortunate to be in the position we are and pick and choose. I think for someone who's trying to grow, I think, you know, they might have an opportunity and it might not be something that aligns with them, but it's a good deal and they need the money, right? I think there's a way to do both in that, okay, let's say this chair I'm sitting in. That is not a chair I would sit in, but I'm going to take what has gotten me my following to this point, whatever that content is, and use the chair for the way that I do my content. Does that make sense? Like, maybe a chair isn't a good idea. Like, if it's...
But you're saying you don't like this chair?
No. It's a little uncomfortable, to be honest. Like, I like arms on a chair.
But what if this chair company came at you and said, Heidi, we think you represent this chair very well.
And I was at a point where I needed the money, and it's not something, I know I like a chair with arms. This isn't the kind of chair I would sit in. So what I would do, if I have a certain kind of content, whatever that may be, I may take my content and incorporate the chair. It's not going to be, here's the chair and I'm going to promote the chair and it's so obvious. Like, I'm just going to use it in the content the way I produce my content.
And I think that's what early on we let corporations and the marketing team within these corporations or the ad agencies dictate how we're going to be represented.
Process.
And that stopped really quickly, not because we're set in our ways, just because we were Charlie. Both Dixie and Charlie know their audience, know what resonates with them. And now the deals that we do, they have a lot of creative control. And it doesn't come from a position of there being, bratty or my way or the highway. Mm-hmm. It's like, guys, if you really want to speak to this audience, let us have some creative control in how we make this happen. But back to your point, I would say, you know, as long as something isn't going to destroy your brand, if you're in a position that it's always better to be in a position of strength. Sometimes financial situations do not allow for that. Sometimes you need a check, mm-hmm. and that's mm-hmm. you got to do what you got to do. I would just stay away from things that could be catastrophic right. for your brand, and think about what those might be. And we did that. We did that early on. There were some deals that we just didn't think were right for us. And you find sometimes when you say no, if you say no just for the sake of saying no, you're going to get the reputation of being difficult. If you say no with a reason that's well thought out, and they can't argue and they have to look at you and go, wow, I never mm-hmm. thought of that. Okay. Usually they'll come back and either give you more money or they'll make the content or the deal the way you need it to be.
Mm-hmm. I think the girls learned very early on when they were, oh, the creative, the ad agency or whatever, this is what they want you to do. And they weren't in a position of power, so they would do it. It wasn't anything bad. It was just not them. And they would do it, and it didn't get a good response. And so after proving their point, like, and I think you and Greg have been great for the girls with this, is like, don't just say no. Say, you know, I don't think that this works for my audience, but this is what I do think, and give them something back. You know, just to say no, and now they're like, okay, now what are we going to do? Like, you're really good at that.
Yeah, I say we use the vanilla ice method, and that is go. If there was a problem, yo, I'll solve it.
Yeah.
So I tell everybody, yeah. don't come to me with a problem unless you have a solution.
Yeah.
And we call it the vanilla ice method.
We do.
I just made that up. But yeah, we do.
But wait, yeah, there's something to it. But and so the girls have, now it's just commonplace. Like they're in from the beginning on the meetings of the creative process of that. And so are you and I. Like, you know, when things are early on brand deals, like what's the creative? And like just some things we just know. We haven't been in it that long, but we've been in it long enough to know what doesn't work. So, but this is what I think will be really good. So,
yeah.
And
I think it's a good way to do it. I just think that you need to be comfortable to market something properly. You need to be comfortable doing it, and you need to have a perspective that on the product, or just become, I mean, you know, that people, kids, everyone could tell where it's just, oh man, that guy just got a check. And mm-hmm. there's no passion.
And then it doesn't translate into sales.
Yeah, and so it's bad,
like,
for the brand.
It's just like a not good on either side.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
I don't want to bring this about me, but if my brand deals are lacking, and I don't know why, because I think as a 52-year-old, slightly overweight, dad bod, having with ACL surgery, I would and sciatic nerve issues, I would think that I would be a prime candidate for, like, I don't know, something.
Like, I just feel like you don't set yourself up for anything. Like, yeah. There's a lot of things you love. Like, I will post knowing that this might get the attention from this brand. I do that intentionally. I'll tag them. I'll hashtag, or I will align myself with them as much as I can, because you never know that if they're going to see it or not. They might. And so why not? And I think that opens up the opportunity. You never post, like, you literally wear Vans all day, every day. Mm-hmm. Like, that's an easy one for you.
Yeah, because it's like ankles down. That's,
well,
a good one.
Not because of that.
Oh my God. And I'm not looking, I'm not fishing for compliments here. I'm well aware.
You have great ankles. Don't sell yourself short. Best ankles I've seen.
Yes?
Yes.
Really?
They're really nice.
Wow. That's awesome. Look, I'm not playing a game here. Like, dude, I don't want to, I want, my limelight years are behind me. I do not want to be.
Let me tell you something right now. Let's go back to the DJ stuff, right? This is what I see for you, is that you haven't done, you could do a whole YouTube video about it where you buy your records, this, that. Is it the common thing right now? No, people usually use laptops to DJ. But there is something about the way, like, everything comes back, right? And so you do this, and then you could create a situation where you bring someone else up, that let's bring DJing with vinyls back. I don't know, whatever it is. Like, you're just the vehicle to help someone else, but you will be in the limelight because you have the platform, but you'll bring someone else up that has that same passion, and then you'll create something for them.
When you say I could help other people, that's the thing that gets my attention. Other than that, I just don't want to be.
And that's what I'm saying. You can do that.
I don't want to be Dixie and Charlie's dad.
But it has to be something you love.
Yeah, I just don't want it to be. Random. Anything I do comes off as, I want to be a supporting, as a dad, like, and I'm not playing coy. I'm not trying to say, like, I have this vision of, and I'm just pretending I don't want to do it. I want to be a supporting castmate for my kids. And I do think you have something that you offer to different brands. I think you've the way from your beauty regimen to how you eat, how you take care of yourself. Like, but I think, like, Buffalo Wild Wings would be somebody that could get behind me. I think that would be a company.
You love wings.
I think that would be someone that.
See, there you go. Shout them out. Buffalo Wild Wings, if you need a wing guy.
Yes.
You are actually an expert.
Dude, I'm finding my lane right now on this podcast. I love it.
Well, for me, when we got married and had kids, it's not like I was like, I'm going to put my life on hold because of it. Like, it was just, that's what I wanted to my focus to be and to throw myself into, being married, having a family, having kids. And I did that because I wanted to. But I did say before that, oh, when I'm 60, I'm going to revive my modeling career, as a joke. But I did think there was something to it, because I know what I have three older sisters, mom, they age very well. And so I was like, there might be a chance for me. I want to just, like you just said, be the supporting mom for my kids, my family, my husband. And that's what I wanted. And then, and just to kind of parent and be there. And I don't like to do, like, if I would have tried modeling while I was doing that, it wouldn't have worked for me. My personality, I like to be focused. No, I was doing things that I enjoyed. I love working out. I was doing that while I was parenting. I was doing other things, but not like, I think when you focus on, like, working with brands and doing that, it needs your attention to be done well. And I'm not the type of person that could have split my time like that.
You know,
so I'm ready now.
And
the girls are at a place, the girls are at a place where, you know, Dixie's going to be 20. Charlie's going to be 18. You know, I'm more of in a consulting role as a parent right now. There's not those, like, I mean, we still drive Charlie around, but, you know, it's just different now, and they're much more self-sufficient. So I'm not as needed in that role like I was. And so I find I can put my attention on working with brands and doing things like that.
I think, now that we're just thinking, one of the things I've loved is that people that we know that are creators have come to me as someone that has, look, we have a lot of people that help Dixie and Charlie, but I do think I'm pretty good at this business.
Very.
And I think that I've picked it up pretty quickly. And behind the scenes, there are a lot of creators that have come to me and said, hey, what are you doing? And I've offered those services. I do not want to manage people. I've offered those services for free. And things that when it gets to a legal thing, I call up Gary and I'll say, hey, Gary, I need you to look at this contract for this creator. So I love that. And if I could do content where the problem is I can't answer everybody's questions. Mm-hmm. I mean, if somebody comes up and sends me, hey, Mr. D'Amelio, I have this deal. I mean, but I just can't. There's
not enough time.
Yeah. I mean, I can't get to any of my Instagram messages or my messages, but if there's a way to get those common questions answered and bring in experts, like, you know, what split should a manager take?
Mm-hmm.
You know, should you sign mm-hmm. a contract with the manager?
Mm-hmm.
What does an agent do? All those things that could be my lane. And I'm well equipped to be a front man or pitch something. Mm-hmm. I would rather do the latter, and I would rather.
And this is why you'd be good at it, because you do know this business and you know business in general. And I think you have a good knowledge of how to run a business. And that's basically what you are when you're a content creator, or an influencer, you're running your own business. So you have a lot of really good insight into that because you've run your own business your whole life. And then the other side is you're not that introverted person that needs to be alone making content in your room. You much rather have someone with you and bounce things off of and interview style or whatever. So it kind of marries like those worlds. And then the best part of it all is helping someone. That's what you love.
See, I loved when Wanye, Angry Reactions, and I have become very good friends. And I, although we don't talk all the time, he was just on Dixie's show. And that was the best of both worlds, because he came in, I don't know, in our other house, and we started off doing content together. And it was more like he pushed me down, and it was just, and we did this whole thing. And that was great. But then also he always hits me up and he's like, hey, what do you think about this? Mm-hmm. Hey, what do you think mm-hmm. about that? I need help with this. And I love doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of where a little bit of being a mentor and a father figure to some of these creators, mm-hmm. but then giving them some of the business knowledge that I've learned
mm-hmm.
and not having them try to reinvent the wheel. The wheel's already there. I just need to give you some of the mm-hmm. information.
Yep.
You like that?
I love that.
This is interesting. Why did you start sharing your life on social media? So we as parents had an opportunity to not get on TikTok when Charlie was doing it. Why did you do it? And did I do it first or did you do it first? Who was on TikTok first?
I think, was it you?
I don't know.
We could probably find out. Go back. I think it was you.
We probably did at the same time.
Yeah, it was probably like that. I mean, I kind of looked at it like I was on other social media apps. Like, it wasn't so far-fetched that I would get on. And then, like, I think my early ones, I tried some transitions and I was horrible. But I like the concept. Like, I love befores and afters. That's like my favorite thing, but I'm not very good at it. So, yeah, my content is a little all over the board on that app, but I don't know. I kind of didn't look at it like, oh, I'm going to share my life. I'm going to make like silly videos. Like, it wasn't the same as even probably Instagram or Facebook, where I share more of myself.
Yeah, I think the same way Charlie didn't think she would have that following. Like, I never thought that anyone, I just signed up for it the way I looked at my Instagram. I had friends and family and business associates on Instagram. And then on on TikTok, it just exploded pretty quickly. And I guess the question is, not Dixie and Charlie, but for you, now that our life is out there, do you have any regrets? Do you wish you did just sit in the background?
There was a time where I did not want this. I would much rather nobody know who I am. Like, but I was already on social media a little bit and it was kind of too late for that. And then we did a lot of stuff as a family. So it was inevitable that, you know, people that follow our kids would wanted to see what the parents were up to or whatever. So they would follow me. That made me, it's just like, cause I just felt like there's no turning it back, you know, and you're just exposing yourself. And I'm not like, I'm just like most moms out there. Like, I'm not that different. And with that, like, I didn't feel like I was special enough to have, like, I just felt like I was going to get a lot of hate and I was not prepared to deal with that because I saw my kids go through it and how hard that was. So that part of it was what was hard. But you do get a thicker skin. You do realize it's not, it, you know, don't put too much weight into what negative people are saying. And also now I just don't even read too much of the comments. But now I'm so happy that we're at a place and we're more comfortable being out there. And I love that we get to show who we are on our own terms. And that was important because other people try to make a conversation around who they thought we were. And we took that away when we were like just showing you who we are. And I like that.
And with things like this podcast, you get to see,
yeah.
You know, I want to keep this podcast definitely something that people come here for things we don't talk about mm-hmm. anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have regrets. I think that life is an adventure and the more things you could do to make the adventure more adventurous is a lot of fun. I think we're in this situation because we did not overthink it. I think we would have overthought the process. We probably would have gotten cold feet and maybe taken a step back, but it's been an adventure for me along the way. A great adventure for me along the way. With that, I just have to always think about how I'm surprised, honestly, how well you've done with this whole thing because, you know, you're the type of person that does not like to be in the spotlight. Mm-hmm. But you're really good at it, Heidi. I mean, you definitely have a great perspective and people gravitate towards you and you've done a really great job about it. So I guess the main question as I think we've answered the question, but would you, if you had to do it all over again, not for Dixie and Charlie, but would you continue to do it knowing the amount of people that would know you and how much of your life is an open book? Would you do it or would you have done it the other way?
I would definitely do it again because now that life is opening up again and you meet people that, like, I meet moms who their kid loves to watch Dixie and Charlie's social media accounts and they love them. The mom's like, you just like, I connected with you. I don't know. There's something about making connections on a big level like that. That is like, I love it. I never thought I would be into that. It's not about, I don't know, as I get older, I'm getting more comfortable with who I am and what I'm all about. And just connecting with other people, mostly moms, that, like, we're all the same. Like, we all feel the same things at different times in our life as a parent and as a mother. And those connections, I wouldn't trade that for anything.
And we could dial it back. I mean, there are people that were as popular as Dixie and Charlie that decided they wanted to do something else. Mm-hmm. So I don't think you can instantly dial it back, but if you and I made the decision, like we want to retire to Florida or go somewhere, I think
And
we stop posting. People.
It's inevitable. If you don't post, you're not going to keep people coming back. They're just going to move on.
Yeah. Nobody's going to be like,
"Oh, I need that.
I need Mark's content. Where I can't go on without Mark posting. That's not going to happen."
So. But I do think this is fun, and I'm, you know, I was a stay at home mom, and I feel like, you know, when you end up an empty nester, like I was anticipating that, and like, what am I gonna do? Like, what do I want to do for myself to have a fulfilling life besides like the things we all know? Like, I love to work out and do things like that, but even bigger than that, and so. I've had this opportunity at this time in my life to, I'm going to take it and run because it's fun and it's exciting.
I love this for you because we kind of picked early on, like you wanted to be a stay at home mom, and I love that. And shout out to stay at home moms because it's not something that I would have been very good at doing. It's parenting all day during those times when from, you know, newborn, it is not easy. But I always had another life. I have people that work for me, business friends, mm-hmm. trade shows. And then there were times that you helped me with my company and would go to certain meetings with me. But for the most part, I always had that outlet outside of our family to do things and to have success and do cool stuff. And you basically, in a lot of instances, parents put their life on hold to be moms and dads. And you did that 100%. And I love the fact that you're still an incredible mom. You're still teaching Dixie, who's 19, and Charlie, who's 17, every day. But now you have this whole other life. And we still have a really good marriage. So and kudos to you for balancing all of that stuff. But
well, I feel like, you know, staying home was not without a lot of sacrifices. You had just started your own business. It was a really financially hard time for us. So it's not like I was staying home, mom, gallivanting and doing all these. I was home, literally home, and just being with the kids. So in those moments, I was still me, and I would do that. Like, we would do, whether it was crafts or, you know, when Charlie started dance and she got her first big dance bag, I blinged it out. Like, those are things I love to do. So I just took that into my parenting. And now I want to take it onto, like, in social media and doing those things. I want to do more of that. But thank you for all the compliments.
No, that's what husbands should do.
And wives. And partners of all kinds. And people.
Yes. Kindness.
Yeah. Be nice.
Complimenting. All right. So as we're coming to a close, what would you name this episode?
I'm not good at this.
No, but that's what makes it so much fun.
I would name this episode Mark Compliments Heidi and Heidi Rambles On.
Wait, do you think you got enough airtime on this episode?
Yeah, I feel like I talked a lot. My throat hurts a little bit.
Really?
Yeah.
This is what you asked for, so I'm so glad. I
did not. You made a whole thing of it.
You said that I am wordy and
you are wordy.
You want to take over the
podcast. If you give me a chance, see, I have a lot to say.
Yeah, but then sometimes.
You know what? Yeah. Ask me more questions. I'll tell you more things.
Well, I'm going to.
There we are.
All right. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. I'm Mark D'Amelio. You could follow me at Mark D'Amelio on all my socials.
And follow me at Heidi D'Amelio on all my socials. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Mark and Heidi, the other D'Amelios, comes to you from Ramble, a Cadence 13 studio.
You can listen, rate, review, and follow all episodes available now for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.